bastard bloodsuckers!
Dean pushed himself out of the water and up on the other side. He pulled up a shirt sleeve to survey the parasites. Ryan pulled himself up to wading distance, cutting through the water as quickly as he could while helping Christy. He could already feel the leeches moving through his clothing as well, tiny whispers of damp, cold movement that wouldn't be denied.
Oh, God! My ears! They're crawling in my ears! Please!
Calm down! Quit flailing so I can check your ears!
Jack had brought their boy ashore after Ryan had assured Mary the albino could swim like a fish and would be safe with him. Neither Mary nor her husband Jim could swim well, and it showed. Jack put the boy on the ground and started stripping him out of the wet clothes. The boy tried to squirm away. Jack grabbed his young charge by the hair of his head and forced him to his knees.
Stand still. Running to brush might end up in something's belly. Gotta get leeches off before they make you sick.
Reluctantly, the boy stayed on his knees and didn't fight Jack. The albino slipped out one of his leaf-bladed throwing knives and slid the point under one of a half dozen leeches attached to the boy's back. He flipped them away with practiced ease, tossing them into the dirt and stamping them to death under his boot heel. He made occasional forays across his own body, flicking away leeches that came out into the open. Mary and Cleet finally had to be towed in from the water by a rope Bud threw to them. Sandy and Dean pulled them in, then used it again to draw Doc and the orphan little girl across as quickly as possible. JB came across with Mildred, dragging an oilskin pouch after him that contained the guns he'd found. Ryan started skinning out of his clothes, Christy stripping down beside him. Modesty was a luxury in the Deathlands, and the companions didn't have a problem with it, even in front of strangers.
All this noise is going to give us away.
Might draw some of the two-legged varmints that ply these waters sometime, but it'll chase the four-legged kind.
I must confess that those creatures that stalked us earlier have been somewhat worrisome on my mind.
Bud and Sandy began peeling off their clothes.
Aw, wharf rats ain't nothing. Purely come out at night, and they see the first sign of light, they go away. Put up a campfire, they stay away too. Seen him eating dead things, but never attack nobody could take care of theirself.
Stripped down, Ryan used a small knife to pluck the leeches from Christy's fair skin, taking time to remind his lover with his touch that he hadn't forgotten about her. Everybody paired up, with Dean and Jack taking care of the two youngsters, then trading off on each other. Doc paired up with Elmore, while Morse had his son strip him clear.
Leeches are particularly bad this time of year. Just into the breeding cycle for them, and there haven't been any good floods yet to wash them away. Expect them any time, though.
Ryan took charge of the camp, dividing the chores among the group. JB stayed at the campsite and cleared the brush so they'd have a defensible position and nothing would interfere with their line of sight. Ryan marked the area he wanted cleared with the Ponga, slashing through the heavy growth and small trees. Morse had brought over three machetes and his equipment, as well as ring poles to cook with. He and his boys joined JB in clearing the undergrowth around the camp's perimeter, though the old sailor was vocal in his opinion that it wasn't necessary. One look from Ryan, though, and he'd gone straight to work. Morse had also brought the bows and arrows from the boat. Ryan took the bows, keeping one for himself, then passing the others out to Jack and Dean. JB was good with a bow as well, but he wanted the armorer on hand in case Elmore or Morse decided getting the hell out of the area was in their best interests. Doc busied himself with scavenging the local flora and fauna to add to whatever supper Ryan, Jack, and Dean were able to bring down. Self-heats hadn't sounded good to anyone after they had had them earlier in the day, and Ryan wanted something solid to put in Christy's stomach to keep her strength up. The others, under Christy's and Mildred's supervision, were put to work gathering firewood. Satisfied, Ryan led Jack and Dean into the thick forest surrounding the river. The bow wasn't his favorite weapon, but it allowed them to conserve the precious little ammo they had left and not announce their presence for miles. Bud and Sandy had informed them that the local game included rabbits, quail, frogs, and turkeys. Bears lived in the forest as well, and a small type of mountain cat. Ryan went naked except for his boots, the Sig Sauron Ponga belted around his lean hips and the Steyr across his back. Mosquitoes were a problem, but Morse had a foul-smelling concoction in his kit that kept them away. After wearing dog shit for hours, the mosquito repellent was easy to put up with, although it left a greasy film that shone in the moonlight. Jack and Dean were naked as well, moving through the shadows like savages. Ryan was proud of his son. He was used to Jack not making any noise, but even Dean was soundless. Less than 5 minutes into the brush, Ryan spotted a young tom turkey that probably dressed out near to 15 pounds. The bird lurked in the shadows 30 feet away. Only the bobbing of its head and the light band across its wings attracting Ryan's attention. Ryan squatted beside a tree and knocked an arrow, breathing shallowly as he steadied himself for the shot. Before he could release the bowstring, an arrow plunged through the night and burst through the turkey's head. The force of the shaft dragged the turkey's head sideways, pinning it to the side of a nearby tree. Making the other archer's probable location from the angle of the shot, Ryan loosed his shaft at a turkey hen leaping for a low-hanging branch. His arrow caught her in mid-flight, nailing one of her wings to her body. Dean slipped out of the shadows and squatted beside her. He slit her throat with his knife.
Lot of noise, Dad. Should have aimed for the head.
I'll try to remember that in the future.
Scare away the game and it'll be hard feeding all those people.
Yeah, I guess so.
Ryan strode out into the clearing and used the ponga to cut strips of young bark from the trees. They used the bark strips to tie the turkeys by the feet to branches above the ground, then cut their throats. It would allow the bodies to bleed out and keep them from easy reach of other predators while they finished the hunt.
There's a lot of meat here.
Maybe, but if the hunting's good, might as well make the most of it. Gonna be aboard ship for a while. Maybe we can jerk some of the meat down in the kitchen, get ready for travel.
That's good thinking, Dean.
Ryan dropped a hand on the boy's shoulder, and they melted into the night again. A little over an hour later, Ryan walked drag behind Jack and Dean, his hand hard around the stire. Four good-sized turkeys were slung over his shoulders. Jack and Dean each carried another pair of turkeys, and the albino had managed to get seven rabbits. Dean carried a pouch with close to 24 frogs in it that were eating size. The brush around the campsite had been cleared, and the companions sat around the fires. JB kept watch over Elmore, Morse and his sons, and the others, the Remington shotgun draped loosely across his knees. A big metal tub sat on top of one of the two fires, the twisting flames licking out from beneath it and scorching the metal black. Ryan dropped the dead turkeys to the ground near Mildred, who stirred the contents of the big metal tub with a fresh-cut branch as thick as Ryan's wrist.
Too many bastard fires. Light this place up and somebody else sees it, we're fucked.
We keep running around without clothes, we could be in trouble too.
And wearing them all covered in dog shit is pretty stupid. A lot of animals like the smell of shit. And it's kind of hard to move around unnoticed.
We thought about trying to wash the clothes out in the river, lover. But that would have meant whoever did the washing would be fighting leeches the whole time. And the leeches would have been all through the clothes.
Ryan knew it was true and didn't say anything more. He crouched over one of the turkeys and started pulling feathers. Christy joined him. Jack and Dean both started gutting their kills, dropping the intestines into the river so the current would take them away. They also added everything that they wouldn't be cooking. Burning it or burying it in the ground was an option too, but the river offered the cleanest way to get rid of it. Christy tore at the feathers with a vengeance. Her face looked pale in the mix of firelight and moonlight. A slight tremble worked through her hands.
How are you feeling?
I've got a headache that won't quit.
Any voices?
Florin's quiet for the most part now.
Maybe she's going away.
I think maybe she's just resting up, waiting for me to get a little weaker.
Ryan didn't like thinking about that. He took the ponga out when they had the first turkey stripped clean, then carried the kill over to the river. He rasped the sharp blade against the big bird's ass to open up the body cavity, then reached inside and pulled the mass of coiling guts out. They splashed into the water, tangling out like bloody ropes that sank in places.
Hot pike, Dad, look!
The boy pointed out into the water, blood dripping red stains into the river from the tip of his knife. It took Ryan a moment to see what Dean was talking about, expecting to see something breaking the river's surface. Instead, he spotted the luminous dots hanging suspended in the water despite the gentle current. Before he drew his next breath, he knew they were eyes. As he watched, the luminous blue eyes glided toward the bank, drawn to the blood and waste. Large jaws distended, revealing long yellow fangs. They tore into the discarded intestines and body parts with savage relish, shredding flesh.
You might want to watch yourself. Some of them damn piranha grew legs around here and learned how to come crawling out on the bank when they've a mind to.
Now there's a cheery thought.
JB?
Yeah, I heard.
Let's make sure we let Doc know when he gets back.
It'll make for interesting guard duty.
Can you eat them?
Those bastard fish carry poison with them. Get it from the contaminated water. You drink from the water and the worst you might get is a night of belly cramps, but you eat them fish, you're more than likely good as dead.
Ryan glanced up at the dark clouds scudding across the pinched face of the waning moon.
Could rain again tonight. Let's get those tarps up as well.
Doc wandered back into camp less than an hour later, loaded down with vegetables and fruits he'd scavenged from the surrounding terrain.
Happily, my good friends, this hallowed ground does offer up a veritable cornucopia of victuals and refreshments. And you left the scent of yon fine birds basting in nature's juices over a slow fire to mark my way home.
What the hell is he saying?
He's saying he found a lot of stuff and that the turkey smells good.
Then why the fuck didn't he just say so?
He did.
And you understood it?
I've had some schooling.
You've had schooling?
Sure, why?
Just surprised is all.
You heard of Nicholas Brody?
Seems like I have. Got a place down Colorado way.
Went to school there for a while. Maybe I'll go back someday.
Ryan swapped looks with Christy, noting the thin smile that filled her pale face. It was the first time the boy had ever said that.
Schooling can be a good thing, provided they ain't all a man puts in his head.
Schooling's for pussy.
Yeah, waste of fucking time.
You know how to do anything more than read and write your names?
Don't know how to do that.
Don't see how we're gonna need to.
Least you could make sure somebody spelled it right on your marker if you do something stupid that gets you chilled.
For pussies.
Sandy flipped Dean off, shoving his middle finger defiantly into the air. The turquoise-handled knife appeared like magic in Dean's hands.
Be glad to trim that finger off for you if you can't control it, and shove it up your ass for you if you want to keep it as a souvenir.
Morse glanced at Ryan, as if expecting him to back Dean off. Ryan returned the man's gaze without expression. Dean was old enough to start picking the fights he was going to stand up in, and to choose the things he was going to be willing to fight over. Bud and Sandy suddenly didn't look so sure of themselves when no adults took a hand in the brimming argument. Obviously angry over the turn of events, Morse stood and walked over to his sons. He slapped each of them on the head with quick hands.
You fuckers, stop acting so stupid and shut your damn mouths!
But he started... Ow! Yeah.
Don't make your last mistake, boy.
Blood trickled from Bud's split lip. Morse poured a fresh cup of coffee sub and returned to his place. Ryan ignored the exchange, but realized that Morse was more afraid of them than the man let on. The sailor also resented it, not being a man used to fear. JB got another coffee refill as well, and squatted close to Ryan.
I think you made yourself an enemy.
Yeah.
Best if we parted company with him as soon as we can.
You feel comfortable piloting Junie along this river during rainy season?
Nope.
Me neither.
Gonna have to keep an eye on him. Man gets that fearful of you.
He'll stick a shiv in your back just to try to convince himself he's immortal again.
With Mildred's and Dean's help, Doc removed the turkeys from the spits over the fire, long enough to stuff them with the onions, garlic, apple slices, and herbs he'd found. In moments, the aroma drifting off the cooking birds turned even more enticing. While they waited, water heated up in a big tub that had been brought over from Junie. Steam curled up from the edges, letting them know it was hot enough to cook whatever leeches clung to the clothing. By the time the turkeys were ready, so were most of the clothes. Ryan opted to pull his on and let them dry on him, rather than hang them from the branches the way Jack and Dean did. Being dressed made him feel ready to move quickly. Metal and ceramic plates from Junie's stores handled the food. There was also silverware. They all piled their plates high. Ryan ate with real appetite and turned his thoughts to what they were going to need to do to set things right. The meat tasted good, still managing to carry the savor of the bird's own juices mixed in with the herbs and vegetables Doc had found. And the fruits carried clean, sharp flavors. He ate until near bursting, Christy sitting beside him. But they didn't talk, and Ryan was cognizant of the heavy silence between them.
This is only part of the heritage you carry now within you.
Christy stood in the middle of a street in a huge ville, a cancerous orange sun hanging overhead and peering fitfully through layers of indigo and charcoal clouds. Wags lined the streets, some of them resting against one another where they'd wrecked. White-gray ash overlay everything like a blanket of snow. It was inches thick in places, piled deep on the wags against the tall buildings, strewn across the bloated corpses. Nothing lived. Christy tried to stop her movement, struggled to stop walking through the deathscape rendered in ash and pain around her. But she couldn't. In the twisted nightmare, Florin controlled her body. Instead, Christy turned her efforts to waking. She reached out for Ryan, feeling the emptiness that was there. But the old woman living in the back of her brain, didn't allow her to maintain that sensation.
This is your legacy.
Not mine.
You can't walk away from this. The Chosen are here to know.
To know what?
Christy scanned the death and destruction that lay in all directions around her. Despite all her experience with sudden death, with all the forms it could manifest itself in, these sights froze her blood. There had been, she knew, life there in those streets only hours ago. Now it was all gone. She strode by a young man lying in the street, brickwork smashed around him from the nearby building. The swirling ash partially covered his face, but it hadn't completely filled in his open mouth or the gaping eye socket. His limbs were twisted mockeries of anything human. The flesh burned from them in places from a searing heat.
To know what was here before, in Deathlands before it was Deathlands.
If you can remember all of this, why can't you remember anything further back?
I can. I have the memories of my sisters to rely on.
Time to reload. Deathlands is continued on the next CD.